You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the free version of the Michael Savage podcast, and I'm going to keep it free for all of you. But there are many of you who would love to be able to listen to my show without any ads. I love ads, but many of you want to listen to the podcast free of ads. So we created something for you, a solution. We call it the Savage Premium. For less than the price of one flat, tasteless beer at your local bar, you can receive access to all of my podcasts going back years ad-free for just $3.99. That's it, $3.99 a month. You'll get not only my ad-free podcast, but you will also occasionally receive access to material that is exclusive for members only, and I'm going to give you the list in a minute of what you've missed. You're going to get an occasional monologue from me, maybe a reading from one of my novels, sneak peeks of interviews before anyone else hears them, archive pieces dating back to 1994. Many things that come up, you're going to get exclusive access to Michael Savage material. Details can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, and if you want to join, all you got to do is go to glow.fm and search Savage Premium. That's glow.fm and search Savage Premium. Now, you will always have access to my free weekly podcast. I want to be clear about that. That's my promise to you. But if you want less ads and more Savage, join the Savage Premium Club today and never miss a spoken word of mine. It's glow.fm/Savage Premium. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. And here's some of the stuff that you have missed so far. Michael Savage reading from his best-selling novel, Countdown to Mecca. My words, my voice. Savage reads from one of his lost journals, Fiji, 1968. Savage's first drive time show, Hour One. My interview with the Jewish gangster, very popular. I read from my first written published article, Who Is at the Helm? From 1965. It's heard nowhere but on my premium site. I read passages from my novel, Abuse of Power. We replayed Fat Al's Tuna. My Savage show from 324.94, the earliest show in the archive, 324.94. My interview with Donald Trump from 110.2011. 110.2011, while Mark Levin was mocking him and Sean Hannity was mocking him and the others were mocking him, I was interviewing Trump. Much more. And remember, subscribers also get ad-free podcasts every week. The cost is less than a beer at a bar, and you get a better buzz with the Savage Premium. So go to glow.fm/Savage Premium for full access to ad-free podcasts and exclusive sound you'll not hear anywhere else. Thank you very much. Women, it's time to break up with the Democrats. That's the title of today's podcast. What do I mean by that? Listen to me. Biden and the Dems, especially the abusive nature of these people, they're like an emotionally abusive partner. Someone who lies, projects his poor qualities on you, and gaslights you while making your life a living hell. You want me to continue? Biden and the Democrats treat the people of America like garbage by inflicting their terrible policies on us. And every once in a while, they try to win back our love, promising gifts, student loan forgiveness, free this, free that, meanwhile making our daily lives unaffordable and cities unlivable for all the rest of us. He lies to you. He projects his sick behavior on you. He gaslights you, telling you what you see is not really what's happening. It's time to divorce the Democrats and stop accepting their abuse. Now, Biden is flipping the script. Listen carefully. Tell me what you think. In Biden's crazy, deranged speech the other night, he said, now extreme MAGA Republicans
aim to question not only the legitimacy of past elections, but elections being held now and into the future. Well, by that definition, Hillary Clinton must be an extreme MAGA Republican. She just said this last week. Here's Hillary Clinton saying this, quote, "Right-wing extremists already have a plan to steal the next presidential election, and they're not making a secret of it. The right-wing-controlled Supreme Court may be poised to rule on giving state legislatures the power to overturn presidential elections," unquote. Hillary is a nightmare. She always has been. She's been a liar from the day she was born. Then Biden, the senile liar-in-chief, says this, "Autocracy is the opposite of democracy. It means the rule of one. One person, one interest, one ideology, and one party." Really? Isn't that what California and New York have become? A one-party system? The left is making every attempt to silence us and only allow their ideology to be supreme. Biden said, "As I stand here today, there are candidates running for every level of office in America for governor, Congress, Attorney General, Secretary of State. They will not commit to accepting the results of elections that they're running in. That is a path to chaos in America. It's unprecedented. It's unlawful. And it's un-American. As I said before, you can't love your country only when you win. The man may as well be looking in a mirror." Let's stop saying election deniers. We the people are not deniers. We are election investigators. We are begging for the elections to be fair and transparent. Instead of the president offering assurances, he demonizes any and every person who questions anything him and the gang do. So, as I just said to you, let's stop being election deniers, because we're not. We are election investigators. And now, let's listen to my podcast, because the midterm elections are just a few days away, and we need to focus on getting our voices heard. You know this is one of the most important elections, which will determine the future of our nation. That's why Biden lied and lied and lied and threatened half the country. So joining us now from the New York Post is the great Miranda Devine. So Miranda Devine, here we are again. I'm looking at the New York Post. Look at this headline. It goes to this issue of the election. "Vagrant with 18 priors and eyed in two previous rapes, busted in New York City jogger sex attack." He raped a jogger, raped and robbed a jogger Thursday morning. "The man is a serial rapist and this animal was on the streets." Miranda, does it get any clearer to America what is going on? How can the Democrats pretend the American people don't see all this stuff?
Well, I mean, they can only do it by being utterly delusional. And I guess that's what they're being. Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, is trying to tell us that we're imagining it, that Republicans like Lee Zeldin are just exaggerating crime and it's really not that bad.
Hochul just came out the other way. She admits New York's crime issue after saying it was a conspiracy of the Republicans. Can you believe this? So now, as Zeldin is taking over, in the polls, at least before they steal the election again or try to, now she's suddenly saying, oh, yeah, there's some crime.
Well, yeah. And she's saying there's some crime. And, you know, I know that you feel it and your feelings are real. Well, you know, it's not. And this is a classic. This has been going on. I've known about this for 20 years. It started in England, this idea that it's perceptions of crime and that you have to make people feel more comfortable about crime. No, people are rational and they don't catch the subway in New York, which is down over 50% in ridership in the last 2 years, because it's dangerous. Because it's become a homeless shelter, because there are homeless men out there who are drug addicts, who are violent, who are defecating on the platforms, who have turned the carriages into complete cesspits. And we're supposed to go down there with our clothes, our work clothes, or our going out clothes, and mingle with them and take our lives in our hands? No, thank you. So, you know, it's curtailing the freedoms of everybody above ground. There's a lot of places I don't go anymore. There'll be a lot of female joggers in New York who decide not to jog now, whether it be, you know, in Central Park or, as this poor woman was, down in the West Village.
Well, so, you know, Miranda, we're not thinking properly. If the Democrats should steal the election again, which Joe more or less implied last night, I actually was stunned to hear him admit it.
Yeah,
we're going to need days to count the vote.
Don't riot. Give us time to count the vote.
We know that more and more ballots are cast in early voting or by mail in America. We know that many states don't start counting those ballots until after the polls close on November 8th. That means in some cases we won't know the winner of the election for a few days until a few days after the election. It takes time to count all legitimate ballots in a legal and orderly manner. It's always been important for citizens in democracy to be informed and engaged. Now it's important for citizens to be patient as well.
And the lottery tickets, by the way, the lottery announcements are made within hours of drawing electronically. So
listen,
they need 3 days. They need 3 days to figure it out. But, you know, we're not
every other country can do it. Brazil did it. Australia does it. England does it. I do not understand why America has
they have to find
new problem.
How many votes they need to add to get over the finish line. But also, I was getting at a point, Miranda, we're not thinking clearly. If they should get elected again, they're going to require that American women jog in burkas. And that way the rape situation will diminish. If only women would not tempt these poor, defenseless, homeless men by showing their bodies in these tight jogging costumes and would wear burkas, this would be the America that the Democrats could live with.
Well, Mr. Savage, you have a point. I mean, this is something that I think the left should take up. You should tell Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. I'm sure they'd jump at that.
Well, I hope she continues to wear the burkas she's been wearing, but she's not the issue. America's crime wave is the issue. And it's let's not mince words. I'll say it. You don't have to agree with me. It's a minority crime wave. And even there, I'm being rather generic.
Well, yeah. And the problem is that as we saw with that poor woman the other day who was murdered by her husband after he'd been let out with no bail because he'd beaten her up like savagely, so savagely. She put it on Facebook. It was the most horrendous beating. And she had to wear a bulletproof vest. And he came back and he basically executed her in front of her three children. So she's a black woman. He's a black man. So it's black people who are suffering, who are primarily the victims of these violent, drug addicted, mentally ill black men. This is just
But you see, that's because of the mean Republicans that the African-American males are getting into drugs and committing crime because they live in a racist society. They've fallen through the cracks. It's not a fair society. If only we had reached out in the earlier years, Miranda, and helped them even more than with affirmative action, every hand up possible, they wouldn't be out there raping. They'd be running America's corporations.
Affirmative action only helps people like Barack Obama's children. It does not help the children of single mothers in the ghetto, the boys who are abused and drug up and end up joining gangs and taking drugs because their life, their home life is such an utter misery. And what America used to do was just lock those people up. I mean, the whole thing was cruel, but it's crueler now because it's not just these people who are victims of this sort of laissez-faire society that filters down to the very bottom where, feckless women on welfare have a bunch of babies to a bunch of different feckless men. And then the children just have just a Hobbesian childhood and then turn into criminals and crazies. Why would we be surprised?
What was done in the past is that you had predators out in the streets. The cops in those days could see a predator from a mile away and they would arrest them before they hurt somebody. That became known as racial profiling, Miranda. That was the first stage to this chaos that we're living through. But, you know, when I saw this abortion vote come up several months ago, I said this is the greatest mistake the Republicans ever committed. And whoever pushed it forward on the Supreme Court agenda did so to make sure the Republicans lost. And that had to be someone high up in the Republican circles like a Mitch McConnell, who really doesn't want to win. He likes being a minority leader. That's all my opinion, Miranda. But now I look, who is rioting most about abortion? Abortion is our right. Either they are crazy, overt lesbian feminist radicals or radical lesbian feminists, or old women in the suburbs who are way past the childbearing age. I see signs in the white suburbs, row, row, row your vote, from women in their 70s. What is their obsession with abortion? They're past the age of reproducing.
Yeah, I know. It's just a cause for them because they don't really have any decent causes.
That's their big cause is anti
killing babies. Yeah. Okay. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. It's not worked for the Democrats. I think actually the Dobbs decision had turned out well for the Republicans, even though everyone thought there was going to be a disaster at the beginning, because, you know, once people looked at it, they realized it was just sending the decision back to the states. In New York, as Lee Zeldin keeps on saying, the most extreme abortion laws in the country, right up until the moment of birth, you know, that's not changing. And Lee Zeldin, as governor, would have no power to change that because it's a deep blue state with a deep blue legislature. And so abortion's not working for them because women have actually got more important issues, like trying to put food on the table, trying to stop their kids from falling behind at school because of all the lockdowns, trying to stop their kids being exposed to bizarre pornography at school and gender ideology, and, you know, trying to put fuel in the tank, trying to get their kids, you know, not being frightened when their kids go and play in the street.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
A podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Am I hearing you that you believe, as everyone seems to be saying, and myself included, that again, it's the same old, it comes down to bread and butter issues and children, education and bread and butter?
Yeah, because the last 2 years have been horrendous under Joe Biden. I mean, the media covered up things like the wide open border, and they've been trying to cover up the crime problem, and they're trying to beat up the abortion issue. But actually, people see what's happening with their own eyes. They know what's going on. And, you know, Ron DeSantis's Martha's Vineyard trick worked really well.
Oh, yeah. And
the New York Post, we made a big deal about those secret flights that Biden was sending into New York. I think that got some traction. Little by little, over the past 2 years, I think Americans, it's finally sunk in that, oh, we've been lied to, the border is not secure. And they certainly know about crime in their backyard. They know of people that have been assaulted and robbed, murdered, even raped. We know what's going on. We can feel the danger out in the city. I mean, it's lawless. It's scary. And it's all across every blue city where Democrats are in charge. And people have decided that Democrats are liars. They're demagogues and they're crazy. They're incompetent.
Liberalism is a mental disorder. Somebody wrote that in 2002. It was a book called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. I know the author personally.
Sounds very good.
Miranda, here's a new one. Beauty pageant can't be forced to accept transgender contestants' court rules.
Well, isn't that good?
Where'd that come? Is that the SCOTUS?
I don't know. I don't think it was SCOTUS.
A federal appeals court today ruled that beauty pageants can't be forced to accept transgender contestants, citing First Amendment expression consideration. The Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel's here in Nancy's backyard. They're the most leftist court in the country. Wow.
Well, there's a meeting of sort of feminists and conservatives on this issue because the whole transgender movement is about erasing women. You know, it's like Ketanji Jackson Brown said, you know, the new Supreme Court justice in her confirmation questions, she was asked, what is a woman? And she couldn't say. So, you know, that's pretty devastating. And I think that, again, parents of daughters are just saying enough. We don't want our daughters having to share a locker room with a man with a penis. And the same with, you know, beauty pageants. This is their last kind of bastion of womanhood that they want to take over. First of all, the feminists hated beauty pageants because they said that they were objectifying women.
So it's a way of destroying a beauty pageant, just make of everyone course. Walk away from it. Oh, that's clever.
And they want men to be fooled into being sexually attracted into men with penises who are dressed up as women. And men don't want that. I mean, viscerally, evolutionarily, men recoil from that unless they're homosexual. And if they're homosexual, they really want to be with men, not with men dressed up as women. So this is just a quite
Miranda, it worked for ancient Rome. I really don't know why it can't work for Biden's America.
Well,
but Miranda, what's your latest article?
Go to Opinion, and it's the top on Opinion, how the government hid the truth behind Hunter Biden's laptop.
Hunter. So why are you hammering the Hunter Biden issue even now with the election just days away? There's a reason for it.
Yeah, two reasons. One is that there's an amazing reporting that came out of The Intercept showing, again, another aspect of the collusion between the Biden administration, the security agencies, and big tech to censor Americans' opinion that they don't like, any speech they don't like. And in this case, it was Department of Homeland Security meeting monthly with Twitter and Facebook to censor people who were, expressing views that went against the administration's narrative on things like the COVID lockdowns, the COVID vaccines, the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, so on. Anything detrimental to the Biden administration, people were being censored and deplatformed.
Your article is telling us that the big security agencies in the Biden administration colluded with big tech on issues such as the border, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the COVID vaccinations, the origins of COVID, racial injustice.
Yes.
Anything that could be detrimental to what these animals are doing to this country, they actually work with Facebook and Twitter to suppress any opposing opinions?
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Any dissent, we know from Alex Berenson, who was a kind of guy talking about the opposed to the lockdowns and saying the vaccine, he was actually turned out to be quite right with a lot of what he was saying. He got completely banned off Twitter. And that was, we saw that a guy from the White House called Andy Slavitt, and a guy who'd been there, Robert Gottlieb, I think his name is, who'd been on the FDA and also on the board of Pfizer, he'd also intervened to get Alex Berenson kicked off Twitter. He found in discovery these documents, these internal documents. So we know this has been going on. And there's also the FBI.
I hate to interrupt you. You know, I'm looking at your story, and this is very disturbing for me, living in America and being someone who was born quite a long time ago. The guy who finds the laptop in the repair shop finds this Hunter Biden stuff on it, and he can't believe it.
Yeah.
So he goes to his father, retired Air Force Colonel Steve Mac Isaac, who takes a copy of the laptop's hard drive, according to your article, on an external drive to the FBI's field office in Albuquerque. He's treated with disdain, but listen what they say. You better lawyer up and don't talk to anyone about this, an FBI agent told him. Then he encounters another agent 6 weeks later when two agents from the Baltimore field office go to his home. And they say to him, have you spoken with anyone else about this? Any other government or law enforcement agency, then leave without taking the laptop. Then the agents arrive at his store with the subpoena and take the laptop and a hard drive copy. What happened after that, Miranda?
Hunter Biden's laptop, which John Paul Mac Isaac had looked at after he'd had it for, a year and was concerned about it because he thought that it had national security implications. And he'd been brought up, he said, you see something, you say something. So he wanted to bring it to the authorities. And unfortunately for him, he chose the FBI. And as you say, he asked his father to do that for him in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the FBI agent was incredibly rude to his father and basically told him, you better lawyer up, and implied that somehow John Paul Mac Isaac should not have a copy of this or should not have the laptop, even though legally it was his property because Hunter Biden had abandoned it there in April 2019, refused to come back, refused to pay his bill, had signed a docket saying that if he didn't come back within 90 days, it became the property of the store. And John Paul Mac Isaac was the owner of the store, so it's his property. So there's no legal question there. But the FBI, from the very beginning, didn't want to know about this and tried to intimidate the Mac Isaacs into shutting up about this. And when the FBI finally in December 2019 came to MacIsaac's store with a subpoena and picked up the laptop and a copy of the hard drive, one of them sort of over his shoulder as he was leaving said, in our experience, people who don't talk about things like that don't, you know, don't have a problem or don't get hurt.
Oh, my God.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Miranda, this is out of a, you know, like years ago in 1969, it was a long time ago, there was a movie called Z, which I referenced yesterday on a TV appearance. The movie was called Z. It was about the revolution in Greece at the time in the 60s. It was about a right wing cover up, by the way. And it was written, produced by Costa Gavras. At the time, he was a very famous filmmaker. And it was about an incident of overt government corruption that's covered up, and there's riots in the street as a result. How many people really care about the Hunter Biden laptop going into the midterms?
Yeah, I don't think it's really about the laptop. I think the story is bigger now. I mean, look, it's a story of Washington corruption. It's bipartisan, happens on both sides. Joe Biden just happened to be a past master at it. Millions of dollars coming from China and Russia, and therefore he's compromised. I think a lot of people are concerned about that. They're a little bit cynical about corruption in Washington. However, I think what's new and what is really disturbing and alarming people and making them fear for their country is the cover-up and the exposure of this collusion between, you know, this cabal in the FBI and you know, people in the Biden campaign or the Democrats, or we haven't quite got to the bottom of who did it. All we know is from whistleblowers, brave whistleblowers, that the laptop and Tony Bobulinski's material was buried, deliberately buried, investigations closed. That laptop has not been seen again. And, you know, John Paul MacIsaac, I guess because his father had been in black ops himself, he was a bit suspicious. And so that's why he kept his insurance policy. He kept his copies, and he continued, when he realized the FBI wasn't going to do anything, he continued to try and get it out to various members of Congress. No one took his calls. But then finally he managed to find an email for Rudy Giuliani, and the rest is history. Rudy Giuliani came to us and we got the story out. But then, of course, our story was immediately censored by Facebook and Twitter. And why was that? We now know that FBI went to Facebook, warned them about a dump of Russian propaganda shortly before our story appeared, with enough specifics for Facebook to recognize our story as what they were being warned about. And they immediately throttled it, said it was pending fact check, which they never did. Twitter followed suit. And then what made it even worse was you had 51 members or former members of the intelligence community, including five former or acting directors or acting directors of the CIA, who wrote that lying letter that this was a Russian information operation, but really they knew that people would take that as a Russian disinformation. Awful. And therefore, the rest of the media just, that's how they reported it, Russian disinformation, and the whole story was buried. And, you know, Joe Biden only won by 45,000 votes in a handful of battleground states. This was one of the ways that the Democrats and their shadowy deep state allies managed to put their thumb on the scales over the 2020 election. When people talk about an unfair election, they don't mean, you know, ballots, truckloads of ballots in the middle of the night or Dominion voting machines. No one knows about that. What they do know is the media was biased, that Google was sending out, as they have been this year, sending out messages to Democrats, get out to vote, not to Republicans. We know that Zuckerberg put in all his millions of dollars into just shoring up, get out the vote activities in Democrat areas. We know that there were drop boxes in Democrat areas that were not being monitored, that were the chain of custody was lost. So there were so many ways that the Democrats were very clever. They sent their best lawyers at the beginning of the pandemic in every battleground state to change the rules, to change the laws legally. So they had a million ways to rig the election in their favor. And in the end, they managed to get over the line by 45,000 votes. So that's why people were angry about it. But unfortunately, like you alluded to earlier, let's hope that this doesn't happen again. I mean, we're trusting the Republicans to have.
Looking at your newspaper right now.
Yeah.
Seeing your article, Miranda. And this is disturbing. Elon Musk stands by Twitter integrity leader who once likened Trump officials to Nazis.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's keeping the same type of personality in charge of monitoring Twitter. I got to tell you something interesting. The minute he took over and he fired those despicable third worlders who were shadow banning me personally, I'll give you my particular experience. My following went up by 10% in 2 days. And the amount of people hitting me and saying, oh, we haven't heard from you in years, suddenly started appearing.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, listen to this, Miranda. Now it's gone back the other way. Now we're seeing, I see censorship again.
Yes.
I see my tweets being shadow blocked again. I see it all over again. Like I tweeted this about an hour ago. I said, are the Dems sending old senile Joe out to these empty speaking venues to spew anger and hatred so when they lose in a landslide, they can blame him and regroup as a kind and loving bunch of traitorous thieves? I do some of this stuff because, A, I believe it's true. Also, to provoke people into thinking, why would they keep sending old senile Joe out who gives these hateful, angry, deranged speeches like last night? Did you saw last night's speech, didn't you?
Yeah, I have a theory about that, actually.
Please.
I think that people imagine that Ron Klain or Susan Rice or some, you know, shadowy figures in the administration are really running the presidency.
He's doing it, though. It's him.
Yeah, I think it's Joe. And you know that from last night.
Yeah, it's him again. It's him
and
his, I think it's his wife who's running the country. She's like the man. She's like Madame Defarge behind the scenes.
Well, look, even she is she looks sullen. They don't hold hands anymore. She looks put out when she has to help him.
After 70 years of marriage, can you imagine that? They're not lovers anymore. That's terrible.
Well, I don't think. Did you say 70 years?
I'm joking. I'm being sarcastic.
No, but they haven't been married for that long, really.
But this guy looks so crazy. He gave another speech, again, full of hate, full of anger and full of lies to no audience. Who was in Union Station? They didn't even have the homeless people there because they chased them all out before the event. So there was nobody there but the mice that they couldn't catch.
And no Starbucks because they left ages ago because the crime's so bad. I mean, the choice of venue.
That's the point.
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Who's behind him making these poor choices?
Well, so who's in his ear? So I think Joe Biden is out of control. I think everybody, including his wife, is frightened of him because he's at that stage of his cognitive journey.
Okay, so you think he's actually running his own show and he's sort of he is doing this on his own.
Yeah. And he's always been a mean guy, but now he's got no filter on it. And he's, you can see, lashing out, angry. God knows what Jill's copping behind the scenes. No one can control him except these historians, these pet historians like John Meacham. And there's a guy who I'm not going to pronounce his name right, but it's Michael Beerschloss or something. He's on MSNBC.
Yeah.
And they get on Room Raider.
Joe is a great president.
Oh, they think, no, brilliant. They think they tell him he's the second coming of FDR, that he is going to go down in the great pantheon of marvelous presidents.
Please. Come on.
And they meet him and they boast about it for hours in the White House, often, and they talk about it and they say we had a Socratic dialogue. You know what Socratic dialogues are like? It's because Joe Biden can't actually keep a thought in his head. So he's all over the place, and they dress it up as, you know, is it with a euphemism, Socratic dialogue.
A Socratic dialogue. Who was Glaucon, though?
I don't know. I
studied logic and scientific method a long time ago. We had to read Aristotle in mathematical formulae. Would you believe that? It was converted to mathematics, and we had to follow it in symbol. It was mathematically interesting and perfect. So, but who was?
I did it the other way around because I did pure maths.
So you did? I knew you were brilliant.
From the mathematical, logical side, yeah.
Oh, so, very few people could study mathematics today at all, given the primary school education that we have. Except that perhaps Chinese.
Yes.
They're studying math early on. So you agree, not you agree, you're saying you have a different theory than I, which is that they're not sending him out to these empty venues. He's sending himself out to these empty venues.
Well, he's demanding. So on the one hand, to keep him happy, he's got these historians that go in and they blow smoke, you know, and they tell him how wonderful he is. They show him photos of the great presidents of yore. And they tell him, because they say it on MSNBC, exactly what they say comes out of his mouth. They say democracy is at stake. I mean, no one knows what that means. But all that rhetoric, he loves it, because he thinks of himself as a professor and, you know, he's giving a lecture and no one understands what he's talking about. And that's why the way he likes it. So then the Democratic Party says, no one wants him near any of the candidates, right? Especially in the battleground states where they're just hanging in by a whisker. They don't want him going there. They want Obama. They want even Bill Clinton they're wheeling out, not Joe. So they're sending him because it's embarrassing and humiliating for the guy. He's the president and he's going on holiday, you know, long weekends to Delaware in the middle of the campaign season for, you know, probably the most consequential election in his lifetime. And here he is. They don't want him. So he's getting frustrated and angry, is my guess. So they're inventing these kind of safe space venues for him, not far from home, where he won't get too tired. And he can give an address and wander around the stage as he did in Florida in a very safe place the other day where there were going to be no hecklers.
Let's pause on that for a minute. My wife told me she saw him giving a speech in Florida in a senior citizen home when nobody was there, like six old people, you know, with Jell-O falling on their laps in wheelchairs. Nobody was there, and he was there appearing for another shady character whose name I forget. She's despicable.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah. Yes.
His one best friend in the Senate.
She makes
apparently.
Nancy Pelosi look like Snow White, that Wasserman Schultz. But he was there pitching for her. What's going on with that? I thought that was a district they own. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's right. That's why they sent him down there, because he can't do any damage. And he just couldn't sit around because it's just too humiliating. So they have to pretend to the media that never pushes back that, yes, he's going out on the stump. You know, he's campaigning.
Nobody was there.
Well, yeah. And the funny thing was, Wasserman Schultz, she gets up and she berates the crowd because they're not being enthusiastic enough.
That's what she saw.
Low energy.
Wasserman Schultz ballistically yelled at the old people.
Yeah.
Like, say something, do something. Come on.
Yeah. Please clap. It was pathetic. She said, "We've got the President of the United States here."
And they didn't even know. They didn't care. God,
no,
it's awful.
Cared.
My mother lived in a senior living home there before she passed away down in that area. It's sad to go in those places. They don't even know who's in front of them most of the time.
Well, he would have fit right in there, but I didn't even know.
Why did he stay? They could have given him flavored Jell-O. But look, let's get down to brass tacks. It's going to be up Friday, this podcast, the big weekend before the election.
Yeah.
Do you care to make any prognostications? Here's the big question. We know by every poll in the country, and we know the polls are all distorted, because even when they were saying they were neck and neck or Fetterman was winning by 0.2%, I said it's all wrong because Republicans never self-identify to pollsters.
Yes.
I've seen this for 30 years. So I knew it was at least 10 points up for Republicans who would suddenly come out of the woodwork and vote. But now even the other side is admitting it's 15 points. So what's going to happen if they steal the election again by jury rigging the vote after the fact? They'll try it in some places.
Well, also, I think they do it before the fact. You know, this is, I think, the mistake that everyone made last time was they were trying to find, you know, corruption, cheating on the night afterwards. No, they have, you know, the Democrats, they explained it in that Time magazine article. They had a lot of ways of doing things, like the riots, the George Floyd riots was part of it. So I don't know what tricks exactly they have up their sleeves. I know
ballot
that
stuffing. Look at what happened in Brazil. We're not in Brazil.
Yeah.
But if you look at the size of the crowds of Bolsonaro compared to the minuscule crowds for the communist who
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good metric. I never use that because that really doesn't. That's so unscientific.
So let's put the crowds aside. Let's put Brazil aside. Because we know that we meddled in those elections. We know that the U.S. CIA director went there before the election, by the way, which is astounding.
Yeah.
So we know that they're trying to jury rig the entire world, like tilt the pinball machine. What if
they didn't like Bolsonaro?
No, I understand.
For his country, because he was a conservative, he was a Trumpish right winger, and that this is what they hate more than anything.
They can't control him. It's like Trump. You can't control a wild card like him.
Yeah. And that's why they hate Carrie Lake and Blake Masters and, Bolduc, General Bolduc. Now,
where do we get these wonderful candidates from? This general guy. Where is he? In New Mexico? The airborne assault troop? I love this guy.
Isn't it wonderful? This is America.
I said, this is America. Where did he come from? There's an American male. Yeah. An airborne assault guy wearing his hat that says airborne assault, and he's running for the governor. What is he running for in that state, New Mexico?
New Hampshire.
Oh, he's in New Hampshire.
But there's another guy in
the Southwest, another military.
Mastriano?
Yes, he's
Mastriano?
Yes, another tough guy.
Yeah.
Where'd he come from? Where are these?
It's like Carrie Lake. It's like Blake Masters. It's like J.D. Vance. These are just, they're not politicians. They're Americans who were successful in their lives and they've come to rescue the country. You know, that's really genuinely what they're doing. They're non-politicians. And that's the great thing about America. You know, America's the only country in the world that's going to be able to rescue our culture, the Western culture.
Home of borders, language, culture, the Savage Nation.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Miranda, these people who you mentioned, they all look like very forthright. As good as you're going to get in the political world.
Yeah.
They all have real backgrounds. They're not career politicians. They're going to trump all of them. Anyone who's not owned by the parties, whether it be McConnell's party or Pelosi's party, is considered an enemy of the government. You know, I found a tweet, a line in a story about Russia that I tweeted, and people took it exactly the wrong way, as I would expect. I'd like your opinion. It was from the article in Russia Today. And one of the women went and looked at all the men who were dying from a small community of ethnic minorities somewhere in the northern territories of Russia near Siberia. They were drafting them first because they were the most malleable. And the woman interviewing all of the families of the dead soldiers said, quote, "Once reporters were there to control the people in power," she said, "this is what we are supposed to do. Reporters were there to control the people in power," she said, meaning in Russia.
Wow.
I thought that rang so loud and clear in my head, what reporters used to do to control the people in power. And now you take out the word "in power" and they're there to control the people. Isn't that what's happened?
Yeah. And, it's a perfect example is the New York Times attitude to Lee Zeldin. The New York Times has a habit of choosing a loser in every election that they nominate. But they've chosen, obviously, Kathy Hochul to be governor of New York again. And Lee Zeldin, they completely ignored him. And then yesterday, or anyway, sometime this week, they ran a profile of him in which they, you know, it's very hard to find negative things to say about Lee Zeldin or about his pitch or his policies, because everything he said is correct. He has a beautiful family. He was attacked by someone when he was on stage near Rochester, someone holding a sharp sort of knuckle duster.
And he was strong enough to hold the guy off because he is a National Guardsman. He has military in his background.
Yeah, he was a black belt karate.
Oh, that's where he got the move from. He immediately moved like this and blocked the guy.
Well, and he grabbed his wrist because it was just muscle memory. You know, the guy's got a weapon in his hand.
And what did they say about Zeldin that was negative?
That he's a Trump guy, that they just quoted all these people saying he was demagogy, whatever that means, not even a real word, that he was like an abortion crazy. All the buttons that would be pressed in their readership. None of it was true because, as he said, abortion is, you know, it's as extreme as you can get in New York. It's right up to the moment of birth. All the Supreme Court did was send the decisions back to the states, and the deep blue legislature in New York, they're not going to change it. If anything, they'll go the other way. They'll legislate infanticide. So, you know, Lee Zeldin has said that he's not interested in doing it. He's pro-life, but he can't do anything about it in New York. Mm-hmm. So end of story, but they keep on trying to drum it up. He doesn't run away from his support of Trump during the impeachment. He did a brilliant job. And that impeachment was so unjust. He's a lawyer. He's an Army veteran. He was in the 101st Airborne.
Zeldin was?
Yeah, Zeldin was.
I have a question for you. Yeah. I admire military men.
Me too.
I always have, since I'm a little boy, ever since Dwight D. Eisenhower. I've always looked up to them as the backbone of America, which they are, by the way, the good ones. Why do men and women in the military generally hide their background in the America of today?
I didn't know that they were.
I never see it front and center. Only now do I see a guy standing up with airborne assault on his cap.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that. That's tragic if it's the case. I mean, we do know that the left, the woke, has been assaulting the military and trying to erase so-called toxic masculinity out of it. And they're bringing, you know, diversity and inclusion and, you know, basically weakening the armed services, which China is doing the opposite. You look at the Chinese military, they're all identical. They're all men. They're all the same height. They all look like clones of each other. There's no diversity there. And they say diversity is our strength and we want to have transgender. You know, we've got an admiral at the moment who's parading around in a skirt in the Biden administration. So they're doing their best to weaken.
Who is that? You mean our rear admiral in charge of Health and Human Services?
Yeah, Rachel Levine.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So, you know, they make a mockery. And then we had, I always forget his name because I find him so repellent. he's the, you know, basically the head of the Joint Services Chief. Really ugly squat man who sucked up to Pelosi. And he said, he was talking about male white rage. Remember? He said he was reading all those.
Is he a white male himself?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, typical. Yeah.
He got to the top by being a white male and being macho.
You don't mean Millie, do you?
Yeah, Millie. Thoroughly modern Millie.
Thoroughly modern Millie. Chubby Millie. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
That's him.
Was obsessed with white supremacists.
Obsessed
and white men in the military. I get so angry when I see it because I have relatives in military cemeteries who fought in World War II.
Yeah.
Who it sickens me to see these. There's a word for them, the Benedict
Arnold. Imposters.
Well, what is Millie's background? How did he become Joint Chiefs of Staff? This big bowl of jello that he could do a thing like that. Do you know that if they were to apply the lenses that they're currently applying to the United States military, they would have to disinter most of the men in the military cemeteries in our country, because most of them were white supremacists by their definition.
toxic masculinity. You know, all those men that ran into the World Trade Center towers.
Oh, toxic masculinity.
Yeah. And you know, we all these institutions now, the police, the army.
But Miranda, the minority crime wave is not being conducted by toxic masculine men, is it?
Well, they are. They're very toxic.
No, but not according to the left. They don't see it. That eye is blind.
Well, they're victims. They're part of a victim group. Well, so
society failed.
So the black man who beat his wife up and then executed her after he got let out of jail when he should have been in jail in front of her children, he got a free he got a pass because of the color of his skin. He was just a psychopathic, homicidal maniac, and she was begging for help. And all the institutions that we pay for, that we rely on to protect us, they betrayed her because they were all too scared to put a black man behind bars because
the
Democratic Party has stopped us from doing that. So what we see is all these predators out on the street. They know that there's no consequences. They do whatever they like. They're laughing in our faces.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Miranda, before you go, I know you've got back-to-back interviews. I don't know how you do it all day long, but we love your articles in the Post. I tweeted this. I want your opinion. And it was tongue-in-cheek, a little sarcastic again. Reasons why you should vote for the Democrats. It's on my Twitter feed. One, women can have penises. Two, boys can menstruate. Three, men can bear children. Four, orgiastic anti-whiteness is progressive. Five, the scientific method is white supremacy. Six, national borders are racist. And seven, inflation is good for the economy. The people, they're starting to understand that Jonathan Swift was put into a madhouse for a reason. Because he must have lived in the same kind of society I'm living in. Because if this keeps up, they will eventually do to people like me what they did in the Soviet Union, which is say, you're crazy because we live in a perfect Marxist society. So if you see problems, you're crazy. We're putting you in a mental hospital.
Yeah.
That's where this is going if the Democrats aren't stopped.
Yeah, which is why, you know, it's worthwhile. I'm rereading Solzhenitsyn at the moment just to remind myself. You know, it's funny. You only after you've lived through it a bit, it seems so unrealistic when I first read it when I was much younger.
Which?
I mean, I knew it was true.
The Gulag Archipelago?
Yeah, but I couldn't really grasp it. But now I'm looking at it with new eyes, and I'm looking at everything with new eyes. We were talking about John Paul MacIsaac, the laptop repair shop guy. When he first started talking to me about, you know, the FBI, and he thought that they were threatening him and all this stuff, I thought, oh, you know, he's a little bit paranoid. You know, I'd sort of. You know, I still respected him and thought he did a good job, but I thought the poor man, he's sort of isolated through COVID and he's just let his thoughts get carried away. He was right. He was the canary in the coal mine. I was the deluded one. I couldn't believe that.
How do you get away with this in the New York Post? I mean, I don't want to bring up management because I wouldn't be fair to you. You're working for a large corporation that's playing the middle. They have to. Do you have any heat on you to not be a truth teller?
Nope, none.
You know, you are a truth teller, and it seems to me you're extremely gutsy in what you do every time you're on. And you know, truth tellers,
I get nothing but support.
But Miranda, most truth tellers don't last that long in mainstream media. You're in a big company. You're doing a great job. I mean, Tucker does a very brave job. I actually worry for him half the time when I listen to his monologues. They're over the edge of reality. I mean, I don't mean not real. He's doing stuff that I wouldn't expect A, him to do, or B, Fox to permit him to do.
He's red pilling. Well, you know why? Because he has a huge audience, and that speaks in itself. That gives him protection. But also, you know, the company, it's a much, you know, the motto of Fox is fair and balanced, and people laugh at it on the left. But it's way more diverse, has way more diverse viewpoints than, you know, any of the other cable networks or CBS or NBC, which just run the drumbeat. It's hilarious that the left is so desperate to bring down Fox News and bring down News Corp. The one voice, it's the one voice of the people that's telling the truth. And yet they need to just get rid of it. Because the problem is, if you have one truth teller in the crowd, then people suddenly realize that they've been told a pack of lies, because the truth just has a way of shining up.
Okay, so this podcast is up on Friday of this week, and the election is Tuesday, right after the weekend.
Yeah.
Any predictions?
Look, my prediction would be that it will be a red tsunami. And I mean, but that's what I hope. But I think the reality is going to be more disappointing. I think the fact that we've got Joe Biden, Democrats, social media, all striking the same note about, oh, you've got to wait, there's going to be days and days, you know, to count the vote and all of this. They're not doing anything to reassure Americans that this election is going to be fair and balanced, you know, fair and above board. So I don't know. I'm not going to predict anything untoward. I just hope that the wave is so big that it crushes any cheating. And that's why everybody has to go out. They have to, you know, they have to vote, and they have to get every single lazy friend and relative of them to vote. They have to nag. They have to drag them out. They have to go around.
I agree.
You know, bribe them, whatever.
If it's overwhelmingly large in favor of Republican or conservative or American or patriotic candidates, it'll be very difficult to tilt the scales by putting a thumb on the scale in the other way. And it's got to be by big numbers.
That's right. And I think, you know, if everything works out as it should and as the feeling, the mood of the country is, then, you know, the House and the Senate will be back in Republican hands, and there will be a new breed of Republicans in Congress who I think won't take the sort of Mitch McConnell, you know, Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney sort of never Trumper attitude lying down. I think they're going to be very pushy, and they're going to demand results. And I think there are, you know, politicians mostly are pretty pliable. So you look at the Kevin McCarthy, he'll do what works for him.
Yeah, he's a mainstream.
Yeah.
Do it.
So
well, before we go, you know, I live in San Francisco, and this Paul Pelosi attack story, we can't talk about it. It seems to have been dropped, which is odd. She's number three in ascension to the White House. Strange circumstances. But I bring up one fact that no one has answered. There is not one picture, Miranda, of an ambulance leaving the Pelosi mansion on the night of the attack at the mansion. Not one picture of an ambulance taking them to SF General. How is that possible? You know that if there's a fender bender on the Golden Gate Bridge, there are helicopters, newsmen, boats underneath with cameras over the fender bender, and this attack occurs, there's not one picture of an ambulance, Miranda.
Yeah, look, it's just, it's Pelosi. That's her MO. She controls everything. She controlled January 6th.
There's no press in the city, Miranda. I live here. I don't exist. I'm a best-selling author, book after book after book. They've never covered me. It's you talk about Solzhenitsyn, where they disappeared people.
Yeah.
This is what was done in the Soviet Union when they first didn't want you to be heard. They disappeared you like you didn't exist.
Yeah.
That's what Pelosi does. She's a pure absolute Stalinist in her high heels.
Yeah.
But this story should awaken even liberals. No one's talking about it. It's been pushed aside and buried like it's a fait accompli.
Well, that's good, though, because they did try to spin it into
the MAGA. Oh, you're such an optimist. I admire your family to have a mother like you.
But I mean, look, their spin fell flat. They tried to turn it into an October surprise to win them the election.
They did, and it backfired, right? Too many questions.
Yeah.
They didn't get a good enough stone filmmaker down in L.A. to write the script. They used some third-rate hack fired from Google probably to write the initial script. Miranda, always a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you. I look forward to your articles in the New York Post every time they come out. Any last words for the podcast audience?
Just get out and vote. That's all. Vote, like your life depends on it.
Instead
which it
of
does.
Row, row, row the vote, it's vote the row.
Yeah.
Good one.
Thanks, Michael. Great
Thank
to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Again.
A pleasure every time you're here.
Thank you for listening to the Michael Savage podcast. Remember this, get out and vote, 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 vote. Tell your friends to vote. Only by winning in a landslide can we get our country back and save it from the evil doers on the other side. Thank you for listening. God bless America.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.